We're the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Good morning and welcome in. We're talking law and order this morning. And friends from the Murfreesboro Police Department are with us. If you have any questions, you can text them to us or you can phone them, whichever you're most comfortable with. 615-893-1450. Chief Michael Bowen is one of our guests this morning. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
How's everything at the Murfreesboro Police Department?
Everything's great.
Good.
Looking at September and thinking, where's the year gone? But hey, at least football season's up
That's
and running.
Right. And the weather is getting better.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
I mean, it's a little bit cooler today, and by next week, it's supposed to get even better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Captain Clayton Williams is with us also. Good morning.
Good morning, Bart.
How's your world going?
It's great.
You made it through Labor Day?
Yeah, man. We finished her off, and yeah, it's weird going into fall, that's for sure. It seems odd.
I like that.
The weather is much appreciated, that's for sure.
Very definitely. Larry Flowers.
Good morning, Bart. I'm well.
Good to see you today.
Good seeing you.
And let's start off with everybody's wanting to know. There's something fascinating about that high-tech center that you have, the crime center.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like everybody looks at it as Murfreesboro's answer to science and technology.
yeah. It's not anywhere close to what these CSI shows are showing. But it does give us a distinct advantage in a lot of ways in being able to investigate crimes and be more efficient with our resources, especially our personnel, because the less time they spend having to run down leads and look things up, the more time that they can wrap up cases or the quicker they can wrap up their cases and move on to the next one. But definitely the results that we're seeing so far have been pretty promising.
What has excited you the most? I mean, you're the chief of police. You've seen what we've had in the past, and you also see what's happening at police departments around the area and across the state. How is this giving us a big advantage?
I tell you, at one point I would say, yeah, absolutely, it's giving us a big advantage, and it's a huge investment. But I think it's like any technology: the more it's around, the more and more you're seeing it's becoming more and more commonplace now, and it's almost like especially with the crime grant through Governor Lee's office, you see more and more people acquiring this type of technology. Huge advantage, becoming more and more commonplace, and I think the results, especially with the LPR technology, have already proven themselves to be invaluable. Just the ability to use that asset and having the crime analysts running that center, they've really done a real good job with that. So,
what is missing so far? I mean, the other day, last time we talked, you had almost everything in.
So remember, there's three components to this system, and for those that have questions about the system, you can go to our website. There's actually a link you can click to the Real-Time Crime Center. On that, we have some frequently asked questions. We also have some little video clips that we've done ourselves, as well as I think there's been some media coverage. We've also attached those stories as well so that people can see that we are putting this out there, and that media outlets have picked up on it. So all that is up and running.
So it's already solving crimes, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry. I was looking at the website before you. Yeah, absolutely. So when we look at the crime center, got distracted there. You asked about all the pieces in place. So there's three components to it. There's the gunshot detection technology. There's the actual camera systems, which are just basically video cameras. And then we have the LPR technology. All three of those components are in place. The first set of LPR cameras that we bought, there's a permitting process you have to do with the TDOT and things like that. So the first set of LPR cameras that we purchased, we put on what I call just basic city roads. They're not on state routes because of the permitting process, things like that. So we were able to get those up and running. When the crime grant came through Governor Lee's office, we were able to purchase or obtain some subsequent video cameras. Now, the requirement of that grant was that they have to go on state routes, which is great because it complemented what we had already done. So we're completing the permitting process. In fact, it may be it may have recently been completed, and then that will allow us to put some of this technology up on the state routes, interstate interchanges, things like that.
So they're fixed cameras.
They're fixed cameras, and you can see them around town. They're mounted on black poles in most cases, have the little solar panel on top. So we've gotten questions about what they were, and that's what you're seeing when you see those camera systems. And they're pretty consistent. I've been to other cities, and they look they pretty much have the same appearance in most places you go.
I think a lot of people don't stop and think about, but we used to have, I think, LPR cameras mounted on the backs of police cars on the around the rear trunk level.
Right, right. This technology goes, it's not new technology. Of course, when they were mounted on police cars, that was back in what, 2010?
Would have been, around 10 through 13, I think we had those.
Yeah, and they were pretty noticeable contraptions. I mean, it was a lot of equipment that you're mounting on the truck. Yeah, so we were using that. We had them on limited police vehicles. So that just goes to show that the technology, it's gotten better as far as how you can apply it. But it's been around for a while. And then we moved away from it. I think we just weren't seeing any results. We didn't see any real benefits in it. And of course, here we are several years later, and it's been a game changer for us. Cars have LPR technology, so along with the fixed position. So if we're not getting coverage through streets, we can, like I said, cars can pick up stolen license plates, things like that as well. So.
So I guess the ones on the streets, since they're on a fixed, on a pole, the pictures are a lot clearer.
Yeah. I guess that's a relative term, but yeah. You'd be amazed, car camera, the body cam camera footage, it's all pretty extraordinary as how the quality of that footage. But well, we get good footage from both the street systems and the in-car systems, so they both do well.
And tell us a little more about the gun system. It's totally workable now, is it?
Yeah, so I don't know. It's not complete, but we're already getting detections, hits off of it. So basically, it's a limited area of town. It's not a full, it doesn't cover the entire city. So we just look at historical data. And then we put the systems up in those particular areas. And I think right now we have less than 5 square miles. Murfreesboro's 60-something square miles, so we're looking at less than 5 square miles of actual coverage. And basically what happens is the system triangulates any type of shots fired, and then it gets us to within 90 feet of where that incident occurred. And that's an average, 90 feet. So if there's a shots fired call and we need a specific location, once it's fully up and running, it will give us a notification of where that actual location is.
When do you think that'll be? When everything's all working?
Yeah. So since we talked last, all this stuff is in progress now, so it's not – pieces are being added daily. I think with that system, you're talking about quite a few quite a few detectors, and so it just takes a while. So the cameras are up, with the exception, the actual video cameras up, with the exception of a couple. The LPR system, the first round, those are up and running, and the shots, gunshot detection technology, we're probably real close to having that done. In fact, we were talking revising or doing some policy, working on that. Mm-hmm. For when it does come fully online. So I know, Clayton, you were part of that group working on that policy. So it's,
There's a, and you don't really think about all the things that touches sometimes on our side. So, for example, one of the biggest components of the policy piece is the communication side, because that'll also be integrated into our dispatch center. So how do they take that, process it, you know, get it into dispatch is so, I call it dispatch, it's communications. It's evolved so much over the years. It used to be, you know, you think of somebody on a radio answering a phone and then telling the officer where to go. It is so much more than that now, and so much more automated, so many more protocols. So much like what you're doing right here, you know, producing the show, they have to make sure they've got all those protocols put in place and the response plans for everybody involved before we can just say, okay, here we go. So that's the biggest piece of it, and we're working together with them to develop so that we make sure we have the right type of response and we can use our resources appropriately. Yeah.
And the big challenge is this technology can feed directly into the officer's police car, so
it can, that's what I was wondering.
It can bypass the communications system, so we have to make sure that if officers are dispatching themselves to these calls when they receive them, that we have to work it out to where our communication center and all of them are working together to make sure that we know who's going, that we've got the appropriate number of cars going, that we don't have too many cars going, that type of thing.
Those cars have to be a piece of technology on wheels.
They are. It's amazing. It's amazing that the advancements that have been made over the past 30-something years. It's, yeah, from a piece of paper and a number two pencil to what they're using now, it's crazy.
We have sometimes been getting some text messages from listeners who are saying, why don't they have more patrol officers in the cars? I've often wondered, with all of this technology in the car, does it get a little tight once in a while? I mean, because you got computers.
Absolutely. And Clayton, so Clayton, or Captain Williams, I'm sorry, manages the fleet or assists with fleet management. And that's one of the things that he has to balance, because especially with our field training officers who do ride partner, they two a car, yeah, it can get tight in there. So he has to look at configurations, things like that, to make sure that they have room. Of course, you want them to have the ability to get in and out of the car as quickly should they need to. So that's definitely more challenging. Vendors have gotten smarter, and they've found ways to make that stuff, I guess, less intrusive.
Yeah, it's you know, that, and a lot of places work longer shifts. Some places work 12 hours, you know, so manufacturers, they're aware of that, and they try to take that in consideration, because they know that the people using these products, the whatever's the most comfortable and the most, how should I say, ergonomic or, you know, productive for them, that's what people want to buy. And a lot of that was the advent of why, well, one of the reasons why they quit making this Ford sedan, but you know, with the SUV, it gave a little bit more room in the compartment, a little more headspace, and allowed to carry some more equipment. But it is very different when you sit down in a car now and you just kind of look around. I mean, there's things everywhere, and versus back before, you know, you had a big wide big front seat, you know. But but we try to make sure that we equip our officers well, and we're very thankful for, you know, chief and council and our city leadership. You know, they do a really good job with allowing us to stay on top of it's not always good, I wouldn't say cutting edge, you know, you don't want to be early adopters too much, but as far as making sure we get the right stuff to do the job and do it well, and it works, it lasts. Knock on wood, I'm jinxing myself, but we make a serious investment in the equipment, especially the technology pieces, to make sure that guys and gals don't have problems out in the field and they can, you know, do their job effectively with those things.
Here's a text from a listener. I think this is tongue-in-cheek, but it is interesting. They're saying, when are you getting your Tesla cyber truck? They see them all the time in other police departments. Do you have one of those on order?
No. I've seen two in town.
Yeah. I've seen one of them too.
They definitely get your attention.
They do. I wonder, are they roomier? I've never seen inside one.
I've never seen the interior of one.
But they're really touting them as a good police vehicle.
I did not know that.
I have not heard that. I know.
I've wondered if they give them to you. I mean, that's good publicity for them.
They can give us a call. The only thing I know, I went to a class, some of the state park service are using the new, Ford has an electric truck.
Yeah.
They're using some of those because typically they're on site. And it's interesting. It's just, I think we're, I just don't know if we're there for a municipality or, you know, a county government to travel and work an entire shift. I don't know that that's really been tested out yet. So it's kind of tough to think about that, how that would work on an electric vehicle.
Yeah, it seems like I've seen them at parks as well. The officers at the parks were using the new Ford electric vehicle. So
interesting. So who knows what is ahead in our future?
Yeah, yeah. And just going back to the crime center, the big thing to remember is I know that there's always privacy concerns when you're using that type of technology, and I think we explain it pretty well on our website, but just know that those concerns are not do not go unnoticed. And one of the biggest things I hear is about the gunshot detecting technology. Those devices do not constantly record. They're designed to respond to a certain noise frequency that's consistent with the gunshot. So they're not constantly recording. They don't record conversations, anything like that.
Tell you what let's do. Let's pause for just a moment. We'll be back. We'll take some more of your text questions. The number to text questions to 615-893-1450. At 615-893-1450. Just text your question dealing with Murfreesboro Police. Send it on to us, 615-893-1450. We'll be right back.
Turn your fingers into a microphone and talk back. WGNSradio.com is Rutherford County's online source for what matters to you. WGNSradio.com.
When is the right time to move to Adams Place?
I have enjoyed Adams Place much better than living in my house. After my wife passed away, what you're doing is you're getting people that you can interact with and have fun. Consider coming to Adams Place.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Adams Place, across from Walmart.
Your 401k is likely one of your most important assets, but it's only one part of a comprehensive retirement strategy. Edward Jones can help you understand how your retirement assets fit into your entire retirement picture so that you can work toward meeting your unique retirement goals. Contact me, Lee Colvin, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, in the Public Shopping Center on South Rutherford Boulevard, or give us a call at 615-907-7056. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, and our hand-fed baby bird nursery is starting to fill up. If you are looking for your next sweet feathered companion, come in and see us. Find your next pre-loved, pre-spoiled pet here at Animal City. Be sure to check out our downstairs level. Here at Animal City, we would like to thank Murfreesboro for letting us be your family-owned and operated pet store for 33 years. Animal City is located at 919 Northwest Broad Street.
This is Peter Demas. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. A lot of times when you get steamed vegetables such as broccoli or cauliflower, it's either soggy. One of the things that we wanted to do was make certain that it was still soft, but still had a little bit of a crunch to it. And so we worked on the procedure of how to cook that. And then all of our vegetables are seasoned with our seasoned salt. We keep that seasoned salt at home, and I can tell you almost all the vegetables I cook at home have the seasoned salt on it. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
We'll see partial sunshine developing here this afternoon with a high in the upper 80s. Tonight, decreasing clouds, a low near 66. Thursday, sunny, a high around 90. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 70.
Good morning. Trying to wrap up that accident with some injuries in Madison right now. OHB at Archwood. Traffic still a little bit heavy trying to get in from Hermitage to Donaldson on 40 westbound. It's not the worst we've ever seen it, but it's still busy nonetheless. There's still some volume making its way in from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County into Antioch on 24 going westbound. Hey, whether you need a new roof, roof repair, or roof inspection, anything to do with your roof, call Independent Roofing Specialist. Check out their website, irsroofs.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Need a new set of tires? Head to Tire World, where you can buy now, pay later. Ask your Tire World experts in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, and Laverne about their financing options.
Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
Get the Bridgestone-affiliated retailer credit card.
This is Chip Walters, and you're listening to Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station.
Yeah, we got them.
MTSU Sports on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Hey, welcome back. We are focusing on Murfreesboro, Tennessee, law and order today. And if you have a question dealing with law and order, text it to us, 615-893-1450. Happy birthday to Bernie Pandorf. 103 years young today, one of the oldest World War II veterans in Rutherford County. Bernie is the winner of the delicious banana pudding from Slick Pig Barbecue, Bernie Pandorf. And our good neighbor of the day is John Dietrich. John receives flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. And the person who nominated John said he stepped up to help a bank customer who was having an issue. Our number is 615-893-1450. Here's a question. This one is dealing with a parent who was worried about her child's safety. They're a relatively young driver. Of course, all teenagers are relatively young drivers. They just were concerned earlier in the year. You mentioned the 100 deadliest days, which have now passed. How did they do here in Rutherford County? That of course, refers to teenage drivers and being out of school, summer season, and did we make it through it with fewer accidents, or how did we do?
I know Clayton ran some numbers and has got an overall picture, I think, for the year to date, so I'll let him go with those real quick.
Sure. Yeah, so it's interesting. I know we've said this before, and it sounds probably cliche, but even though it seems like traffic is getting worse, our crash numbers typically right about that, just under 6,000 a year. It's every year, and that's kind of showing consistent with what I pulled. I know you'd asked specifically over Labor Day weekend, and this is preliminary because some of those I pulled yesterday evening from the state. We had a total of 38 crash reports submitted. Nine of those were injury, no fatalities, so that's good. And then I think so far, year to date, last year total for 2023, we ended up 6,041, and then the last 12 months to yesterday, we're at 5,778. So, you know, it just depends on how that goes. Things typically slow down in the winter, so we're trending typically right where we would be. So, nothing that stood out. I know we just finished the Tennessee Highway Safety Office Booze and Lose It campaign, which focused on DUI enforcement. And we've also, the traffic units at MPD have also been working diligently with school zones the last couple of weeks. I know they're announcing those ahead of time, letting people know, but we're still seeing some significant numbers resulting in hands-free and occupant safety, you know, seatbelt and things like that. So we're out there. I mean, it's a slow game, but it's one that we're committed to, you know, and consistent. And yeah, we'll keep that up. I do know. Never mind that tangent there. But yeah, it's looks like things were pretty normal. And I know we collected all those numbers yesterday. I'm sure we'll probably report that into the state once we get those final for Booze It and Lose It for the DUI campaign.
And Captain Williams, mm-hmm. Over the years, you've seen these numbers. And you say they're staying about the same. That's pretty interesting.
It is.
I mean, our population certainly is not staying the same.
It is. I you know, and I don't know if I can remember back when I was supervising this in 2013. You know, 11 years ago, and would look at these year end numbers. They were still hovering around that between 58 and 6,000 numbers. So it you know, a lot of it, I guess, is perception. Maybe it's just we notice it more because it causes more congestion when just because of volume, but as far as the number of crashes that and the fatalities, we've always year over year. You know, it's delicate to report on, because some years I remember one year, there was one year I think that I when I was on the fatal team, we had like four, for the year, and we thought that was a great win, you know. And then the next year it goes to 12, you know. It's just, and those, you know, you're like, man, that's like a 200%. But with that number being relatively small, it's you live and die by that, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's tough to judge, but you know, it's cars are getting safer. I do think more people are wearing seat belts, even though we still have some that are not. It's fortunate that we're seeing, you know, less of those tragic accidents and those horrific scenes.
Larry Flowers is always good at numbers and coming up with stats and things of that sort. Here's something to think about. No, you don't have to do it today, but I think it'd be interesting. We're always comparing our growth here in Rutherford County. We've done trash can surveys. How many trash cans are out helping us to see how we're comparing size-wise, population-wise? It'd be interesting to see, accident. That's the only thing we can look at on the road. How many accidents, how many speeding tickets are given, and see how that compares to other growth communities in Tennessee in particular, seeing if we're above them or would that indicate more people or not? I mean, is it like trash cans?
That's interesting.
Tickets?
It'd be nice if there was a document statewide, like the Crime in Tennessee document, that you can make those comparisons, but...
If you ever go, if you're interested in those facts, I will tell people the state does have a website where you can go and look at all the crash data for the, you know, years and historical. Mm-hmm. The only tough thing about it is they do it by county. So if you, for instance, if you type in Rutherford County, I mean, that number, it quadruples, and it's misleading because you forget, you know, Rutherford County encompasses a lot of areas. So it's, even though we handle our fair share, and Rutherford County, I think we're typically in the top five every year as far as for crashes go, but you have to remember how much interstate that you know involves. You have other municipalities here and some, you know, unincorporated areas as well. It's interesting, I can't help but think Rutherford County as a whole, how many drivers go through, you know, this area, you know, in a day. But that'd be an interesting number to think about.
I think a lot of people don't realize 840, what that contributes to the area.
Yep.
Because that connects three major interstates, and a lot of communities are lucky to have one interstate, and we have the connection of those three plus 24.
I don't know, would you say, now since it's expanded in the county border, it's probably not quite as much as 24 covers for Rutherford County as far as a linear distance, but it's pretty significant. That's a long stretch of road now that covers Rutherford County.
It is.
Very definitely. As we look at some other things here in the county, the High Tech Center, we've talked about that. Another area would be cold cases. That's always in the news. We have one of our shows coming up this week, as a matter of fact, dealing with the courts in Rutherford County. And one of the features that they always have is a cold case. Mm-hmm. And cases, I guess, as they get older, people are freer to talk about things that they remember. They're afraid to talk, from what I've heard, in the early stages, afraid of being singled out and shot or killed themselves. But do we have a lot of cold cases? Do we have just a few, or how's that going?
Yeah, so we do have all unsolved cases, and I'm going to Larry on once again on our website. Sure. Larry has got a section.
Can you turn that mic around toward you a little bit more? It's there you go.
You're starting to sound all like the time over this.
You were sounding like
That I talk loud, so I'm
no,
I'm
no, not, you never talk loud.
Okay, so I'm just making sure.
He can always
turn
you down over there.
Yeah, right. All right, so is that better?
Much better.
All right. So Larry does have a section on our website that talks about unsolved cases, and he's got a list of cases that are currently unsolved. And of course, if anybody has any information on any of those particular cases, we encourage you to call our CID division. And don't think that any amount of information is insignificant. Anything that could potentially help us with any of these, we encourage you, like I said, to just reach out and let us know. I can tell you that we have we do have our share of unsolved cases, but it's important to remember that if anything comes along, technology, things that we can address a case, you know, if there's a new way to process a certain type of evidence, anything like that, and we can reach back to some of these cases and utilize that new technology to maybe help us make some progress in those cases, we'll do that. Big challenge is you don't see a lot of huge strides in technology, but when they do occur, we do try to utilize those to the best of our ability. And what helps us the most is if people that have information and haven't talked about any of these situations, if they can just bring that to us. And if it doesn't provide any value, I think that it's worth at least us vetting that information.
Can they remain anonymous?
Yeah, absolutely.
So nobody's going to know who it is?
Absolutely.
Okay. And on TV, and I hate to use TV because that's sometimes not the greatest source, but they all, a lot of times solve cases, old cases, with DNA.
Right.
Is DNA, does it last forever, or is it old and not usable after a while?
Yeah, and all of it just depends on just conditions as far as whether or not you can get a viable DNA sample. And, of course, the big changes have been with the ability to get those samples and do a better job of getting samples off of things that used to, you would never imagine you'd be able to get a sample from a certain type item. But now that technology, especially in the private sector, you're starting to see that, and hopefully that'll transfer over and become more cost effective for agencies. And but I know that there are some private companies that are making some pretty big strides in DNA technology.
I know last month on the show you said something that was very interesting. And that was, of course, you're looking for good employees at the Murfreesboro Police Department. And you said you're getting a group of computer technology people, what a lot of people in the world might call nerds. and you're saying they are really becoming good investigators because they're looking at things in a different way, and they're putting it all in their computer and using technology that hasn't been used much.
Did I say that?
I don't think you ever said that.
I don't think
quote that. Direct quote.
Well, not a direct quote. Yeah.
Maybe not those exact words, okay. But that idea.
Yeah. So. the crime. You're talking about our crime data analysts, and that's, you know, going back in time. You had issues hiring law enforcement. You're trying to find best use of resources. And one of the approaches that we took several years ago was getting some of these support positions, hiring individuals like our crime scene investigators. Our crime scene investigators, they go out on crime scenes, they process those crime scenes, they collect evidence, they testify in court, and they do a phenomenal job. And that job is they see more from crime scenes than probably just about any police officer, because they're at every one dealing with them. So they do a great job for us in that aspect. Along the same lines, we also began developing the crime data analyst unit, and that's our people that can look at these numbers, that can look at these situations, and that can provide us some additional insight into crime trends, things like that. So that unit right now is also responsible for running our real-time crime center. And it's impressive what they're able to do with that technology, because there's just a limited number of them right now. I think we have four on staff now, and of course that's something that we'll probably expand or look to expand over time. But yeah, the analysts really do a phenomenal job in breaking down the information, looking at information, connecting certain pieces of information, doing research for us. So yeah, fabulous group of people.
I remember back, and this is in the dark ages, when I went through the Citizens Police Academy, you had a person that really impressed me, Jim Gage. I don't know whether you remember Jim.
Okay. I remember Jim well.
Jim was showing us how to do blood splatter, you know, angles and things of that sort.
Right.
Fascinating. I never thought about that. But now, as I think about it more, I think if you added a computer to doing that analysis, you could get information that was never dreamed of.
Right.
Is there that type of technology available that does studies of the angle of the bullet and the splatter of the blood and everything that is able to tell you this is what happened?
Yeah, so, yeah, there's some things that have to be still done the old-fashioned way through analysis, but there are huge strides in technology. One of the biggest ones, Clayton, correct me if I'm wrong, is just the ability to map a crime scene using technology versus the old style yeah. way of it. Clayton, you use it yeah. on accident scenes. We yep. use it on crime scenes.
I think what the computer's done is just become an extension of the investigator's work, and it allows to take all that information, like from a crime scene, whether it be bullet trajectory, whether it be blood spatter, and then the surroundings that were where this actually occurred, and it's allowed those folks with the crime scene techs to provide investigators a much more visual yes. image, so that when they're presenting to a grand jury or in a trial, it makes it much easier to that person that's trying to listen to this case and present this to be able to actually visualize what they're talking about. Whereas before, you know, a still photo and trying to explain, it requires the listener or the person to really, really take all that in and process that. This, most people, you show them a picture, it's a lot easier to understand. So I think it's just the computer, because a lot of that, the foundations in those investigations with the not only the trajectory but the blood spatter, it's taken a lot of man hours to really test those theories and come up with those, fast rules that apply to the dynamics of that. So the computer's just become an extension of that to be able to put it all together, synthesize it, and paint a much broader, better picture of what that investigator saw.
Yeah, and mapping crime scenes, like I said, yes. has been, the technology has been huge in helping that. But I think that the technology just puts allows those investigators to have the better ability to analyze it, to look at it, like I said, looking at it off a picture and looking at a crime scene versus being able to get high quality photos, take it back to their workstations, being able to analyze it there. It's just
and even our drone technology yeah. is helping on those crime scenes now with yeah. helping to map and take photos yeah. from above yeah. video as well.
So now with the drones and a picture from above, What advantage does that give to the person, to give you to tracking your crime?
Well, number one, it's a huge time saver because it can cover so much more, you know, aerial, True. You can cover so much more ground more quickly. And having that top-down photo, you can see a much wider space versus if you have to get a bunch of photos and put them together to look at. But the drone, it's remotely done, so you don't have to, you know, used to. A joke on some of the crash scenes, we would have to call a ladder truck out. They would raise the ladder up. Terry Spence would climb up the ladder, go take pictures, you know, and all that. So, I mean, that takes time and a lot of resources, whereas this has allowed them to do it. We even have some, I don't know if they're using this on crime scene yet, but we have some small enough they can actually use them inside a residence. And it also takes, one of the things that's all kind of an unwritten rule, when you're showing pictures of a crime scene to a jury or at a trial, having police officers and detectives out of those pictures, it's a lot better, because then people, well, why is he standing? Well, what's he doing over there? You know, but if you can have that clear, unobstructed view, it's a much cleaner shot. And the drones allows us to do that in a very economical way.
Yeah, we hear so much in the news about artificial intelligence and how AI is changing things. Sounds like it's been at work with the police department for a good while.
Well, I don't know if I'd say AI. AI and law enforcement, that's kind of...
That's a computer, isn't it? Technology.
Well, yes. I would guess I would say in the AI realm, what people think about decision-making and generating data based on the computer making a decision. Law enforcement and the courts have really not broached that yet. So it's something that we're keeping an eye on. And it's just like the electric car statement. Eventually, it will be something that it's in our backyard that we have to address, and hopefully even though there will be some frustrations that criminals will exploit with that, hopefully there's some good that will come from it. It'll allow us to using our crime, you know,
rules and boundaries will get established, things like that. Yeah. But in the context of what a lot of people think about with AI, with like defense and things like that, we're not at that point.
No. I tell you, we're really fortunate to have a professional group like we have at Murfreesboro Police, and you do make our community safer. Mm-hmm. We'll be back. Our final segment of the show coming up. Our guest this morning, Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen, Captain Clayton Williams, along with Public Information Officer Larry Flowers. The whole team with us today. We'll be right back.
Spend your middays with us, Rick and Bubba.
It's like the Blood Rick and Bubba Show. Weekdays, 11 until 2 on News Radio WGNS. Rick and Bubba.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. The friends you've made while banking right here over the years are still here, and so are those delicious, warm, homemade cookies. Everything you enjoyed about Capstar is still at Old National Bank.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Come on over and enjoy warm cookies with friends while doing your banking at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Mary Ellen Evans calls Adams Place home.
So this space here at Adams Place is large enough for anybody to create the same environment they had at home. Plus, it has things like 9-foot ceilings with architectural detail. So that gives it a feeling of spaciousness. So it's a wonderful place to call home.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Adams Place.
Broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios, MTE serves members with more than just electricity. Their community outreach team works with schools, parents, and students to provide engaging and unique learning experiences. MTE serving to make life better since 1936.
A look at the news, views, politics, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Listen each weekday morning at 9 o'clock for the Roundtable here on News Radio WGNS.
We are back again, and we're in the final segment of our broadcast. So we're going to ask you, don't send any more text questions in right now because I don't think we can get to them. Visiting with us this morning from the Murfreesboro Police Department, Police Chief Michael Bowen, Captain Clayton Williams, along with Public Information Officer Larry Flowers. And we're looking at the Murfreesboro Police Department. We're 2 weeks away from fall. Does fall bring any changes in what you're seeing as law enforcement agencies? Obviously, cooler weather, football season, do those create issues or challenges?
I don't know that they create any new, that creates any new issues. I think, I know at one time you used to look forward to fall because things kind of just died down, but I think things are pretty consistent. Throughout the fall, you know, you start going into shopping season, you start going into holiday season, so businesses start becoming more active, people out driving more to go to these places, things like that. So I don't know that it brings on any new challenges. I think they're kind of expected nowadays. I don't know if you want to add to that.
I mean, I can't think of anything significant that goes on in that period of time. I mean, obviously, it's kind of leading up to, you know, Thanksgiving. We used to always dread Black Friday, but that's changed so much now with the way that online retailers do. So, yeah, I mean, it's just different.
Yeah, yeah.
So, nothing to worry about right now. Just drive carefully and
everybody be patient and be kind to one another.
Yeah, that is one of the big issues, being patient.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We talked about this in a different context yesterday, but it's amazing of how perception can sway your attitude about things, you know, and I know that sounds really simple, but I just want, you know, to your point about the crash data, yes, I know we got more traffic, but if the crashes are staying the same relatively over the years, is our traffic as bad as we say it is all the time and complain about, or is it just that we're becoming more impatient?
You know, yeah. And we don't give ourselves enough time to get from point A to point B I'm guilty of leaving late sure. to go somewhere, and you know, that creates problems. And you know, if everybody's doing that.
You know, my phone's going to ring after that comment.
You may give it out.
Do I? Yeah. But and Bart, just going back to the, we were talking about AI before the last break and all this technology stuff. Just know that we are highly sensitive to. We know that people are concerned about personal information, things, technology like that being misused. So we're sensitive to that and trying to be good stewards of that technology. And like I said, the AI technology, I don't think we've even broached what's out there yet. And like I said, it's probably going to take a while for some rules and some guidelines to be established for that to be used in, effectively in law enforcement. And when that day comes, I don't know. But right now, I don't think we're using it to any level. Yeah.
Well, we'll find out more in the future because I know you'll keep right up with whatever the trends are.
I got one event, Barf. Can I get it in real fast?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
September the 21st, 9 to noon at World Outreach Church. The Rutherford County Traffic Safety Task Force is hosting a Touch a Truck event. It's open to all ages and it's free. It doesn't cost anything. They'll have all kinds of different apparatus, emergency equipment, other things, construction that our kids can climb on and check out. So bring your family. It's a good event.
It is 9 o'clock.